Welcome to episode 26 of the Island Green Podcast, brought to you by Golf Mania and the Golf Mania Store. Ben, every week that we come in here, there's more and more stuff getting done. I noticed the lie machine looks like is it not mounted yet?
She's secured.
Is it?
Yeah. Oh,
I love it.
We got those Slovakia hockey pucks under there.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Beautiful thing.
All right.
Episode 26, that's half a year. Exactly. That's 52.
Holy. Yeah. Wow. Kudos, boys. Well done.
What if it's a leap year?
Then we're short one guest because I only got them booked for the next 26.
Yeah. You know what? Going right
How
off
was
the
week,
go
boy?
Here.
Oh,
I was going to say, we do have Sean Joyce on the... We just wrapped up in a great interview with Sean.
Yeah.
And we'll get that to you in a little bit. But yeah, how was the week? I want to know your opinion right before get-go of the Olympics. The Olympic golf.
That was a hot topic.
You know what?
Our listeners loved it.
It was like 50-50, too. There was a lot of people that were absolutely in Ben's canoe and a lot of people that were on my side of the fence. It was, so it's one of those things.
I even was talking about it last night. I came into the golf shop there after doing something in Sampa, and a couple of guys were having a beer, and I could hear them talking about it. And I went over, and they're like... Oh, that Olympic stuff. Well, what do you, just...
We're going I should have been a promoter for the event.
I'd say.
Yeah, no question. I don't know.
Okay, so Xander won.
Whoop-de-doo.
The other Rory took the silver.
But sneakily playing for Slovakia, though, kind of not weaseled his way into there, but I mean, he's American. He's South African.
Yeah.
But he could have played for U.S. because he's U.S. citizenship if he made the team. But his wife is
And I think
Slovakian.
At one time he represented New Zealand, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, the guy's a sleazebag. Oh, yeah. He is not.
But that's a whole nother route we can go down to because, I know you look at Stephen Ames, who's Canadian.
I love air quotes.
I mean?
Yeah.
Trinidad.
But you look at like Milos Raonic or... Bianca Honor, whatever the tennis player, there's not a lot of them that are born here.
No.
You know what I mean? And that's just the Canadian way. So I don't know if that's what's going on with Rory. I'm not going to judge it.
It doesn't matter where you're from. You shoot 61 in the Olympics. Climb into the medal.
Crazy.
It's pretty good.
And the playoff.
Yes.
I've never seen a playoff for third ever. Imagine though they gave the bronze for retrogression. Gross. That would have been gross.
Well, you were the worst guy coming into 18, so Rory, unfortunately, you're gone.
Yeah.
She gone.
And then there's a fight over which retrogression to use. Use reverse retrogression, retrogression.
Yeah. What's the I'm not a big retrogression guy. What's the thought process there originally? Do you guys even know like what when that originally started coming in? I'm sure it's been around forever, but
best back nine, right?
Okay.
Start with best back nine. That's because you're playing the best golf coming home. You're not kind of giving the tournament away or the spot away.
So that said, are you looking at the best score for the back nine?
Yeah.
Okay, that's not how I've seen it done. They go hole by hole right off the get-go.
Yep.
Who does that?
I've seen it everywhere.
Almost every tournament, I thought, went by the person who had the highest score on the back nine, on 18.
Going backwards.
Would win because they were the best going into 18.
Correct.
So if I was 2 under going into 18, I double bogey.
Yeah.
I finish even. I win by retrogression because I was 2 under after 17 holes.
I don't know for a fact, but I'm almost certain that it starts with the best back nine. And then goes to 18, 17.
But that's the thing. I think any different associations have different ones. Like the GAO does reverse retrogression where it's the best score on
What's the
18th.
What's the GAO?
Golf Association of Ontario.
Okay.
They do the best score on hole 18. I read it in the amateur they did that. So if you birdied 18, you would win by reverse retrogression, they called it.
Okay.
So whatever association, I guess, could a tournament make a local rule to say a playoffs will be decided by...
Playoff is always determined by the tournament itself.
Right. So they can pick what they want to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But if you really want controversy, don't put anything about it on the rule sheet. Then you got yourself a pickle.
Oh, man. I can only imagine you guys. I got fourth net, and he got fourth net, and I should be the winner.
I birdied 18, and he bogeyed us.
Is it reverse, or is it regular retrogression?
Are you using an accent when you do that?
I don't know what accent I'm trying to do there, to be honest. I just kind of threw it out there, kind of like an old man.
I think that's Barry Gallant at Green Gables.
But speaking of the Olympics, I mean, I don't know about you guys. There was other events. Like I said, I'm not a big... a lot of people, by the way, a little sidebar there. A lot of people like the idea of the team thing with the Olympics. So, you know, going with men and women combining, doing, you know, battling other countries. Anyway, we'll leave that. We'll leave that for the next Olympics. But how about Andre DeGrasse?
Yeah, gold medal this morning.
200 meter shattered his own PB and what 19.63 or something. I always divide by two to find out how fast he would be going if he was driving, you know, going the 100 meters. But that's unbelievable. Like that's. Awesome.
I think the craziest stat of everything I've heard is his high speed is higher than Connor McDavid on skates.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That is, I start
thinking. I still can't think about that.
I was trying to think of how we're going to line it up so that you can actually have like a little race maybe at the, you know,
like
that NHL All-Star game or
crazy.
Something.
Yeah. So Connor McDavid wheels it into full gear going from blue line to blue line and Andre DeGrasse passes him.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Insane.
So now that he's a gold medal winner, you know, he's going to have all these sponsorships. They might, you know, they might name a school after him, and it will be called DeGrasse Junior High.
That's right. That's right.
Wheels. Yeah. Joey and Wheels.
You could be Wheels, yeah, no question. That's a great nickname for That's a guy awesome. That sprints 200 meters.
We're aging. Ben doesn't know what we're talking about.
No, I was busy working on my short game, not what was going on at DeGrasse, I tell you that.
Also a good Olympic moment there, just to touch on when the two high jumpers there
shared it.
That was probably my favorite moment so far of all of it. The guy said, "Can we have two gold?" And then the other guy was like, "Hell yeah!" He was pumped. I think he thought he was going to lose or something.
What about we don't know yet, but I mean, Canada women's soccer took down U.S. for the first time in 40 years, and now they're playing for gold.
Yeah, they're trying to get it rescheduled. The weather up there is nut bars.
Yeah,
but. Yeah.
Feels like Golfapalooza Day.
That's right. What was I going to say? A little bit of heat with the golf coverage. I think that was one of the negatives I've been reading online. They just missed the regular announcing crews. You know what I mean? I think that's been one thing that's been a negative for the golf. I was disappointed with Brooks' first round there. I was really hoping she'd have a hot start and move up the leaderboard. But, you know, I'll still be pulling for her and watching.
They said too, because of that weather, that they might shorten the women's golf event to 54 holes.
Yeah,
it calls for pretty much rain for the next
24 hours. They're gonna make that decision. Right. Yeah.
The only other negative about the golf, those outfits were atrocious. Ooh. All Team Australia's
bogey.
What were they? What did they have on? Bogey. They were like a tracksuit material, and like they look like they were made by ASICS because that's an Australian company. The visors and like. Cam Smith's not a pretty person to begin with, and I mean the mullet.
Can you get those at Hashems now?
With a banana and a pair of socks, 100%.
They'll be ordering them in.
I was going to ask you guys what you thought of the Bales gymnastics situation and all the talk that's gone on with the mental health aspect of the Olympics and the amounts of pressure that's on that that young lady.
I mean, I think it speaks volumes to, like, it's going to be talked about now. Like, I'm a, you know, big mental health advocate and all of that. Like, people don't know what's going on, right? And I can't even imagine the amount of pressure. And, I mean, I knew the, what do you call it, the result. I knew that she pulled out. In fact, I was sitting next to Bernadette. We were kind of watching some of the Olympics that morning when you know, breaking news, she's pulled out of the team competition or what have you. But, I mean, incredibly brave woman, and it's probably going to definitely resonate further than any medal that she's going to win, in my opinion.
Kind of reminded me, not fully, but I mean, like, do you remember Tuukka Rask last year for Boston when he kind of had that, not, you know, at the start of the playoffs, he was isolated in that bubble in Toronto, and he just said, like, listen, I'm just not in headspace to play right now.
Yeah.
He made a decision almost for the better of the team. He said, I'm better off not playing for you than I am. And it kind of felt like Simone said, so if there's a team of four, whoever competes, the fifth next person up, the next person in line is better right now than I am. They can compete. They're at the highest level. It's not like there's just four of us and we have to go to we're pulling some random gymno off the street of Japan or Tokyo to come participate, right?
And really, no matter what excuse she had, or not even an excuse is not the right word, but whatever reason, who cares?
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. No, it doesn't.
Like,
no.
It is what it is. Like,
And you read, you know, I'm not obviously a gymnast. I have the look of a gymnast, but I'm not a gymnast.
Shocked. I'm shocked. Thanks for clearing that up with the room.
Tear a hamstring tying my golf shoe. The moves they're doing in the air aren't a move you want to be doing when you're not thinking clear or you're kind of wavering. I mean, twisting your body and landing on a surface, whatever it is, 6 to 8 inches wide or whatever the balance beam and stuff is. Yeah, I mean, that's not something that you want to go into being like,
I'd love to see I'm not feeling that great. Try to do anything on a balance beam.
We should try them right here in this little green mat, just a little some somersaults
zero
or something.
Chance, right. Zero chance. Zero chance. Canadian Amateur Week, boys. We had some of our we had some Islanders go up, and I was kind of following a little bit. I'm not sure if
you youthful guys squad this year.
Very youthful squad. Mm-hmm. Seb Cormier.
Yeah. Did he make the cut?
He missed it by one.
Ooh. I think did he double?
That I don't know. Okay. I could probably look that up, but he missed it by one. I'm so bummed for him, but what a great year he's having. I was talking to some of the other guys, and they're just like, yeah, he's just a great athlete all around. Other participants, Hashmi and Kevin Chen went up. Brett McKinnon did make, former guest. Mm-hmm. He did make the cut. He's actually, I think, a 2-under around 23rd or what have you.
The boys went low.
Currently. Yeah, I don't know what's going
11 on. 11 deep after two was leading.
I can't wait to hear sort of like from the boys like about the course and such because, and we're missing, Brody McGregor Brody also. And he was pretty steady. I think he finished at 7. Maybe 7 over. Yeah, 7 over, and 5 under over was the cut. So very close, and good on them for, you know, taking that on and getting up there and giving it a go. I would have loved to do that at some point.
I heard it was the course was long.
Is that right?
Yeah, Jeff Hughes was playing his practice round last night at Stanhope, and he said that he thought it was playing like 7,100. And I mean, oof. That's a fairly long track.
Yeah, that's a long enough track for me not to want to go. But yeah, it's not over yet, but that'll be fun to watch.
Speaking of Stanhope Open, this is the week, boys.
Leader right now is 1,500, by the way.
15.
Anyway,
not bad.
3 rounds.
Yeah, Stanhope Open week.
Yeah, it's here.
The Island Green Stanhope Open week
has begun.
And the draw has been made. It's not officially out yet. Is that correct?
Correct. The draw was made this afternoon under secrecy of a locked room with plates of Stanhope French fries. And it will be out this evening. We, like I said, if you follow us on social media, we filled it, 156 players, 30 PGA professionals. Tee time, split tees starting at 7:30 to 9:30, and then from 12 to 2 both days. I think that's how it worked out. So, yeah. Divisions are divided up really equal. So, I mean, you're going to have some competitive golf in each division. I mean, the amateur field is stacked for the championship division.
That's awesome.
It's a who's who.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We got a senior division that, if you look at their handicaps of the senior division, they could all play in the like regular division. Their handicaps are just low. The female division, the ladies division, is tons of players in that one. And then, like I said, 30 PGA members, some of our better, you know, the best ones in our zone are coming. So, going to be a great weekend.
Is Shannon healed up enough to get in the field? Or
Shannon put himself into the field this week. Yeah, he
bandaged himself back together.
He got a Theragun, his so right,
yeah,
his green rubber band, and he should be ready to play. Pro-Am Friday, going to be a great time. Looking forward to having all those teams and our sponsors and everything come out and enjoy the day, and then tee it high and let it fly Saturday morning.
Weather looks great for the weekend.
Yeah, dampered. I was nervous about Friday because, I mean, Pro-Am's a long day when you're kind of standing around the pro shop because they want to get at least 9 holes in because, yeah. I mean, as a sponsor, you play in the event. And the kitchen's ready to have a big meal, but they're not ready to cook it till, say, 6, right, when the shotgun's over.
Right.
You show up at 1 o'clock and there's rain. It's a long time to sit there and kind of wait. But I think the forecast did subside for Friday, so we should get the Pro-Am in. And, yeah, weekend looks great. I can't wait to see you out there, Benny. I'll be there.
Yeah. I'm going to have moose lights and hit on Liz Clay.
Flex will be working, so he won't notice or anything. Yeah. And I know a couple of the boys always stay at Dave's house. So, I mean, like I said, we've talked about this before. Stanhope Open, yes, it's a golf tournament, but I mean, for a lot of these players, they make a family weekend out of it.
Yep.
They're over here Friday morning with their family, wife, kids, cottages. The golf is almost secondary to the vacation, and especially this year when they couldn't get over here last year. It's like, I don't care about the golf tournament. I'll play in it, we have a lot of sons that caddy for their dads. I mean, like, it's really about family events. So,
So bad timing on my part. In case we didn't talk about this, but not bad timing. I can't wait. Actually, my wife and I are going to see her family for the first time since Christmas 2019. Kind of a ironic story. We were all set. I think I was telling you guys we're going to take the Tesla on a road trip. We're going to go down and. Bernadette let me know that they wouldn't let me in the country if we did that, so it's just her. So we booked flights, and in order to do everything, now I had to go get a COVID test today. I had a COVID test yet. Have you guys had COVID tests?
Yep. No, I never had.
Yeah, right up the nose the old nostril thing. My eyes started watering. I'm like, that was not pleasant. anyway, so hopefully I don't have COVID and I still get to go.
Wait till you get to the States.
I know. Well, double vaccinated, so, you know, I'm as safe as I'm going to be. But anyway, yeah, we'll have to. I heard I actually have to spend a fortune to get a COVID test down there to get back in the country. I heard that, so I don't know what.
America, she's a business.
Yeah. I'm going to have to go to, like, some street COVID dealer just to see if I can get a COVID
like
test.
Hey,
man, do you got any COVID tests? Hey.
Like your Sobeys vaccination?
For a COVID test, brother.
Like your Sobeys vaccination? Walk into a 7-Eleven down there and be like, yeah, you got any COVID tests?
I got the Moderna.
And a Yoo-Hoo?
Yeah. I'll have a Slushy, a Pfizer, and
anyway, I love going to the U.S. because you go to the grocery stores and they got cereals we don't have up here in Canada, man, and they've got some stacked cereals down in the U.S.
If people don't know, Fred has got the sweet tooth of a four-year-old child.
You go to Orlando, man, and
Fred, when I'm on the road, cereal is not even in my world.
When you wake up, cereal time.
He's going for the Count Chocula.
No. Oh.
They got six different types of, like, Oreos down there. They got, like, the Oreo cookies.
You should
they
see got seven, eight Fred's different flavors. Eyes right now. They are like saucers.
Oh.
He's just so excited.
I love the restaurants.
Message me when I'm down there, bud. I'll be able to pick you up some illegal candy, bringing them back. Yeah.
Nice.
Milky Ways. I don't think they have Milky Ways back here. I think those are one of them. What else was going on? Do you guys remember me telling about the match play, the Fox Meadow match play, where Chick Lanahan shot his best ever? Absolutely schooled me. He was like 1-under through 15, something like an 8 handicap. Anyway, that's fine. I had to give him 6 strokes at that stage. So I'm playing Ricky Knockwood. You know Rick? Ricky?
Yep.
Okay, so I've had to play Ricky Knockwood, and I played him on Sunday, and I had to give him 5 strokes. So I'm like, okay, you know, I'm assuming he's going to be sort of in the, on a good day, kind of high 70s, you know, whatever. So I'll have to play pretty good. So we go over and we play, and once again, 2-for-2, I get schooled by a guy having the round of his life. Ricky was 4-under par on the front 9.
Okay.
I have to give him 5 strokes. Anyway, he played phenomenal. In fact, I got to give him kudos because it was his legit lowest score ever. He shot 70, and it was 2-under par for the day. Needless to say, I'm out of the Fox Meadow match play. But
handshakes on 13.
I had no problem with either match. I know a lot of people are like, oh, they're handicapped, blah, blah, blah. I had no problem with it. I know these guys, and I know what they usually score. Another interesting thing he did right off the get-go. Number one, you'll get a kick out of this. So we both have about, like, I hit the green in 2, whatever, nestled it up to about, you know, 2 feet or something like that. He nestles his up to about 2 feet. I'm like, good, good. And he looks at me. He's like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm not giving you any putts today. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah, no problem. Anyways, just like, I like to keep my score and I like blah, blah, blah. So it was actually kind of nice because I didn't have to worry about it.
That ruins match play. Ruins match play.
I don't know. I don't think it did. I don't think it did.
So all day you had to putt everything out?
Yes.
But, like, where's the gamesmanship?
Yeah.
Like, I don't like that.
You got to give them every 3-footer until the back 9, then start making them.
I know. Though that's really the only thing that you're kind of – is the advantage is basically that part of the gamesmanship where you are – like you say, 3-footers, like pick that up, and then the back 9, you're like, okay, putt that.
Yeah.
And I get that.
But there's some more to that, too. Like, it's not so much just giving the putt, it's when you give the putt.
Yeah.
You can let them stew on it, and then you make your putt, and then no problem, scoop that one up, or,
or pick it up after you make your own or whatever.
Yeah, and there's some, you give a quick, yep, that's good, and there's some you just... You let that marinate a little bit until you get the nod, right?
Would you ever let somebody go through their pre-shot putting routine, actually get the ball on the ground and before it struck, say, greasy. Actually, you know what, man? That's good. Pick that up.
100%.
You would, okay.
Greasy. That is greasy.
Well, are you in the match play to try and win? Or are you friends in the match play to just play with your buddies? Like,
well, sometimes it's a little bit of both, Ben.
No.
No. Okay. All right. Your gloves are off.
Like, that's awesome.
But like, I don't know. Like, to play a match, like, I like having that. That's why match play is different than just playing stroke play.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. I'll give you that. Give you that nod. It is different because if it's just a round of golf, then it's just a round of golf. We're going in and do whatever. What I think we, you know, hypothetically, I could have said to him, because when you say pick it up, true match play, you're not allowed to putt it.
No.
You know what I mean? You're not allowed to go up there and knock it in.
Well, I shouldn't say you're not allowed not to putt it, but it counts as your stroke. Is that how it works, though?
No, I don't think you're allowed to putt it, because I know that if, in for example, if you had a two-man match play, if you go up and the guy says, no, that's good, and he putts it, but somebody else is behind him with that line, has to putt it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not allowed to putt it. You got to pick that thing up.
But you can practice putting match play if you miss it.
I think after the fact.
After the fact. I miss a four-footer.
After the hole's all done. Right. Mm-hmm.
I miss a four-footer, and he goes up to an inch, and he's like, that's good. Yeah. You can drag that back and hit that four-footer again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you could. Yeah.
But you can't hit the putt after if he picks it up. Oh, I didn't know that.
As the play is being had, once the hole's over, the hole's over. You can do whatever you want, I think, at that stage.
But, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, because I know that there was something about, you know, some strategery, especially in two-man, like I said, if somebody has a putt. Here's a good example. You're right inside Ben's line.
Yep.
Right? And I'm, Ben would be pretty, so I'm Ben's partner. And I've got one closer. And good chance I'm going to make mine or whatever. Your partner would probably say, yours is good. Or I would say to your, you know, yours is good. So you're not going to see Ben's line.
I gotcha,
putt,
I gotcha.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then that makes your putt a little bit easier. You got to go and do your thing.
But. Okay. No one gives me any putts anyway because... I could have a seizure when I'm putting from 3 feet. Did you see the guy in the video that missed it from like a foot?
And the qualifier.
And he was going to qualify for his first PGA Tour event.
And he was just so casual about it. Oh, I feel for him.
But they said he totally went against, he went online after and said he totally went against his routine. Like, here's the thing. The routine for a PGA player, and not that I know them, but I know some of them. If you walk up and you're going to putt out, you just walk up, and most of the times, that close, you putt out. He went to the effort of marking it, but then put his ball back down without going through his pre-shot. He almost did like a hybrid, like, yes, I want to putt it out, but I want to mark it and put it back down. And I think everyone was like, that's just not what he does on a regular basis. And he said afterwards, he's like, yeah, that was just like, I got caught up in the emotions, the nerves, everything, because I thought, I'm going to play in the Barracuda this weekend.
God damn it.
And yeah. Then, and like, how do you recover?
I missed a 3-footer from my PJ card.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
Last hole?
Last hole, yeah. I missed a 3-footer.
In Moncton?
Yeah. Missed it by one.
Ugh.
Bounced back and just slammed the door shut the next time.
Well, you know what? And that's...
Was it nerves?
Sometimes
just nerves, yeah.
Yep. Yep. Look where you are now.
That's right.
It's not life...
Out of the association.
It's not life-defining. Yeah, I don't know.
I've missed short ones in tournaments.
Have you seen, you guys know that Manolo Golf guy?
Yeah, he's awesome. That's it.
You know, he, ironically, I think his video, and I don't know if it had anything to do with this or not, but he had one just recently that I watched, and it was on pre-shot routine. He was just like, you know, wagga that shit or whatever the hell he says. But anyway, yeah. And, so maybe that had something to do with it.
I've missed some real short ones in tournaments.
It happens.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing, though. This week, I don't really typically play a lot of golf, but this week I just wanted to get out and hit a few balls just so I can play this weekend. Anyway, went to Stanhope, hooked up with three members. We were going to go out and play the front nine. First hole, play it, pin in. I kind of totally forgot that pins can come out now. So we get to the second hole, and the boys, one of the guys said, hey, do you mind if we take the pin out? I'm like, oh, yeah, we can take them out. Took it out, and I said right before my putt, I said, I love putting with the pins out. I kind of explained my rationale with the left and the right of the hole, the pin in, blah, 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 blah. Drained a 20-footer.
Nice.
Number three, drained another one, like putted the lights out. As soon as I could start taking the hole, the flag, I was like, it's like I'm looking at a kitchen sink right now is what I'm looking at compared to I'm looking at a thimble whenever the flag's in
look
there.
Look out know this what it, weekend. Oh my. You're putting Calvin Ross on notice here. Is he going?
Anyway, he's playing.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay. You better look out for young
Calvin. I got to worry about my playing partner.
BJ.
Yeah.
Getting a club in the head. or Or him slipping in the high tops when if there's any dew out there in the morning.
Yeah, that's true too.
What time do you tee off? Do you know?
8 a.m. Saturday morning.
Give me your morning routine. Saturday morning, what's going down with the frid?
Okay, here's the thing. Typical routine is, say, 6:30, up, leave for the course at 7, get there 7:30. I don't hit balls before tournament. I'm switching it up, man. That talk you gave there 2 weeks ago, 4 a.m., I'm going to get up. I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to act like it's a normal day. I'm going to get some stuff done, you know. So then when I go there.
Is this what we talked about when I was saying how shitty I was in the morning? And yeah,
get up early.
I'm going to get up earlier, and I'm going to suffer that afternoon, but I don't care because I think my body's going to be more awake. My mind's going to be more awake, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to actually do a proper warm up, hit some balls, hit some putts. I mean, I don't think I'll be nervous this year. Stand up is my home course. I'm playing with two guys that I know. I think the nerves will be gone. But I am going to get up a lot earlier this year and just it's eye crusties and stuff still when you're getting there. Last year I did a funny joke because if you play bad the first day, obviously you tee off late, early the second day. So there's always,
is that how it works?
Dew sweeper.
Dew sweeper. Oh, excuse me, greenskeeper, can you get out of the way so I can play through here? Whatever, whatever. And I sent a tweet there. I usually live tweet my rounds every year. I've done it. It's been pretty popular. But anyway, I had messaged someone and said, does anyone know if the Tim Hortons in Winslow is open at 6 a.m.? I got a tee time this morning.
It is. It is.
Not this year. I'll be getting lunch at Tim Hortons on my way to the second day this year.
There we
year.
Go.
I think he's fired up. I love it.
I wish you were playing, Len. It'd be.
I do too. Obviously, I do too. I've really enjoyed the tournaments this year.
This is the first tournament of the 2022 season.
Yep. And it's our first tournament.
Oh yeah, the Dunderave one was canceled for
what happened?
Weather. They basically canceled it, which I'm really bummed about because I was going to play with Steve Anderson and Brody Ward. Now Steve is now over in Denmark because he signed a contract with the Aalborg Pirates over there, pretty excited for him actually for him going over. But he flew out of Charlottetown, so we came over the night before or the day before, and he was going to play in the tournament. And we had we were lucky enough to get paired together and everything, but then it got rained out. I was kind of bummed, but we went on the beers and had a really pretty good evening anyway.
So that's a quick golf season for him then.
Yeah, not a lot of competitive golf.
Are they making that up, that event up? Or
they are. They're going to do it again in, I want to say the 13th, cool. I think, of August. But
next Friday.
Yeah. So anyway, I can't make it. I called them and they refunded me. Same with Steve, actually. But anyway,
Brody has to go out in a single.
Yeah, and it's our first event as a group, guys. I mean, I'm excited about it. I know the golf course is. A lot of our followers and listeners are excited. So
yeah. Well, speaking really of good. Followers and listeners, thanks again to Jason for the article in the Guardian there today.
Yes,
that was awesome.
Jason does a lot for Island Sports.
How come you never told me that I'm thinning on top? Are you like beating around the bush, or did you think I knew, or like what's going on here? Because whether it was bad camera angle,
thinning, or is it just a divot? You could replace that thing.
Listen, I need some seed mix or something. Go grow.
The headphones just play mind tricks on you, Fred. I thought you looked great, bud.
No, thanks, Jay. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really good. I don't know, boys. There's a couple other things that we'd like to talk about, but I think right now we should bring it over to Sean and Sean Joyce, the interview that Ben's good buddy.
The director of golf, the DOG, Sean Joyce.
Here we go.
All right, folks, welcome here. A big welcome to the DOG, the Director of Golf. There's one golf course in Western PEI, and this man is looking after those beautiful operations at Mill River Resort. He is formerly the Executive Director of the PEI Golf Association, golf coach, instructor extraordinaire. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Sean Joyce.
I didn't know who
you were. Thanks for the intro, BK.
I didn't know who he was introducing there for a second.
Yeah. Yeah, keep everyone on their toes.
Very reminiscent of our year when we did the basketball stats for Holland College, and you were the mic man, and that was a good time.
How many years did you do that?
I did it for at least one, I think two. JR and I did the stats. Yep. JR Hogan, another golf program alumni, and then you did the play-by-play.
What was the what's his name? Heckbert. Remember when he filled in for JR after? Different vibe. A little bit of different vibe. It was still good.
But let's be honest. We go back. We were classmates and, had a lot of fun. And it was just a nice transition into something different. So
before we kind of go back into your deep, dark past, as you know, are an elder statesman now in the game of golf, right, Sean? So what's been happening in West Prince PEI? You're like the West Prince of Bel Air, but it's West Prince of PEI up there.
You know, the last year and a half have been really interesting. I don't know, Ben, you'd know the story just, you know, because we're golf industry buddies and I've known you a long time, but I wasn't expecting to be up here. And the opportunity came my way, around Christmas time in 2019. And obviously I had to give it some serious consideration, but lots of things are going on up here, and it continues to be that way at a pretty interesting clip. So not only we're primarily a golf destination, but we're trying to fill in other parts of the resort with other amenities to keep it full 365. You know, it's not just a golf season for us up here. That's just part of the business. And then we transition to a different time of year.
So I know, like, we'll get into what's going on like at the resort and how the golf operation's been and that sort of thing. But just on kind of a personal note, I know last year you transitioned into your role up there at Mill River. And obviously your family got more of a taste of Western living. And now even you've kind of put some roots in and purchased a place up there. So what's the difference been for the family-wise? And obviously there's a lot of good people up there.
Oh, for sure. There's two parts of that. I'll address the family part first. But last year was tricky. I have two kids that I'm very close to, obviously, and my wife of many years now. So last year, in that kind of experimental phase where I was up here and they'd come up for a little bit and I'd go home, I was on the road quite a bit. We did that just to see what the first year would be like. But now that we have a place up here, Samantha will work a little bit from up here, and the kids love it, and I just see them more often, so it's more normal for me, whereas last year I felt like a bachelor, which I hadn't felt like in a long time. So I played a lot of golf last year because I was on my own quite a bit, worked a lot of long days, but it's been nice. Everybody in the Joyce clan's happy about it. And then for sure, the people here are fantastic. We've got a great base of members, and it's made it a lot of fun. No question, open arms pretty much from a lot of them. Played a lot of games with a lot of different people. So I'm still learning some names and getting to know people a little bit better, but there's always somebody to get a game with, which is fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, anybody goes up west, they always love it. And I know Mill River is very very aggressive and very great at showcasing all that they have to offer up there. Before we, I always like a little bit of a flow to our interviews here, Sean, and I know we've been wanting to get you on for a while. And I'm the guy that always wants to know, like, the history. Obviously, you know BK for a long time. But I'd love to know, like, how you started out in the golf industry a little bit, and not too crazy, but just obviously you've made it a career, and we always like to know how people got shaped in that direction.
Yeah, everybody's got a neat story when it comes to that, and you're introduced to the game somewhere by somebody. And I, without making this too long-winded, because as Ben said, I am an elder statesman now, I guess, and it means it just takes a lot longer to get through things. Like most, I grew up across the street from a golf, or most who get into the game, I had access to it at a young age. I grew up across the street from a 9-hole that was my home for 8 years, 10 to 18. Worked there when I was 13 till I was 18 years old. So
where was that?
Those were my golf roots. And I have fond memories of them. I still remember the first golf pro that I worked for there. And we're going back. We're talking early 90s with a paper tee sheet, doubling up because you're playing the nine twice. And that's how I got my start into the game. Like most or some, I ended up, when I went to college the first time, I got out of the game for a little bit and then came back with a vengeance in my mid-20s when I decided that's what I wanted to do. And kind of the rest is history.
Where was that little 9-hole course? Where did you grow up, and what was the name of the golf course?
The golf course is called Laramac Golf Club, and it's in Chelsea, Quebec, which is just 20 minutes north of Ottawa. So that's okay. where that's right. where I was born and raised until I was about 20 when I left that area. So it's still operating, but technology has changed that golf course a little bit for sure. It's just a little shorter now because of those types of things.
But I might be misremembering, Sean, but was there a connection with like your grandfather or something? Or did your grandfather have a golf course or golfed? Or
yeah, so the golf course that I just alluded to is where I played, you know, the majority of the time growing up. But my grandfather, who was a lifelong golfer, got me into the game. And towards the end of his life, actually, him and my uncle purchased a golf course in the Ottawa area that they've since sold. My grandfather passed away in 2014, but my uncle has since sold it. But yeah, I know golf's been, it's heavy on my mother's side of the family. All my uncles played, my grandfather, all very good players too. So I was influenced at a young age to get out and play and, you know, try to do as well as I could.
Are you the course record holder at said nine-hole golf course?
No. There were a couple of players, and I don't know if their names would resonate this far east, but there were a couple of guys. One, Jeremiah Shields, he played at LSU, knows Craig Taylor. So they ended up being connected via LSU. So Craig and I had a mutual friend there. No, there were some good players out there. And Jeremiah, when you play Division One, he could light it up.
Yeah, thanks, Fred, for humbling him a little bit, eh? Just to make sure that, you know, he doesn't get too... Yeah.
We got to keep him grounded up there in Mill River.
So after Sean, you kind of get, you know, the taste for the golf industry again, going to Holland College, and then kind of maybe take us through that, and then you went on to get into the instruction side of things, the coaching, and now, you know, kind of full circle back into the operation side.
Yeah, it's been kind of a combination of being in the right place at the right time and having the right mentors, because I feel like I've been pretty lucky with the with those types of situations where I've been had the chance to work with some really, really good people who I've learned a lot from. But Holland College, I was 25 when I started the program, and it was exactly what I needed at that stage of my life. Like, I had, you know, had the fun times that we have when you're younger, and I was serious about getting the most out of that program, and I did. And Ben, I think you can attest
that. I was on a similar path at that time, I think, Sean.
Yeah, well, see, that's the funny part, because I've always been kind of the elder statesman in your eyes, because, you know, I was a lot older than everybody else in the class. But it gave me everything I needed at the right time to meet the right people to get connected. And I ended up working for Ann Chouinard at the Golf Academy, which was exactly what I needed at that time, right? So, you know, anytime you can work with one of the best teaching pros in the country, you're, you know, unless you're keeping your eyes closed, you're going to learn a lot.
Yeah, 100%. So after finishing up at Holland College, you know, working with Ann, you took a little bit of a move, went to Ottawa, correct?
Samantha and I, we both had opportunities to, we were both trying to get a little bit more going career resume wise. Mm-hmm. And Samantha was able to transfer, and then I ended up working for a golf professional, again, being in the right place, right time, mentorship type thing, who taught me the operations side. And again, that's what I needed at that time. I had a good teaching base under my belt with a few years with Ann, but learning the operations side, I worked at the Marshes Golf Club, which is in Kanata. And I worked for Andrew Donaldson, who is arguably the best golf pro in the country. He's at Rosedale now. And I was able to learn a lot from Andrew, who had been at a number of different private clubs. And so again, just trying to round out the skill set a little bit and, you know, ending up with the right roles and responsibilities. So there I got to run the junior programs and run the men's league and learn a little bit about merchandising and just trying to round myself off from, because all I did prior to that was just teaching stuff, which is good. And I still do a lot, but as you know, Ben and Fred, you know, there's a lot to the golf business, and sometimes you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into one thing.
Yeah. It's nice to, you know, touch on all aspects. That's for sure. I know, like, talking to a lot of people, it keeps you connected with all of your staff as well, when you kind of can be more well-rounded and you know, you have the smarts in all the different categories.
Because you don't necessarily do it all, but yeah. At least you have to be able to have the conversation to run a good program, or, you know, whatever type of merchandising program you may have. Yeah, it's just nice to get the experience in all those areas.
Yeah, and you can be brought into a facility to, say, be the teaching professional, but then you can, your general manager can be asking questions about something else, and you can chime in and say, well, no, I have experience in retail, or I have experience in a tournament organization, and, you know, they see the extra value that you have for that course, and that makes you kind of more important, I guess, to the operation side of it. So,
who was your favorite teacher at Tallinn College, instructor?
When I use that word mentor, Jeff Donovan would be okay. Up there on the list for me to where maybe I am today. Jeff, I think, is responsible for a lot of the golf industry in Atlantic Canada. He mentored a lot of people during his time. And for me, he was my favorite, only because he helped me the most, I think, and not that the others didn't. It's just that Jeff and I had similar interests. And I think Jeff
Sunday morning basketball pickup games.
I forgot about that. Yeah. Like, that was just another element of it.
I think I tore my MCL and it still hasn't recovered, to be honest.
Well, then we had some ball hockey nights too. Do you remember that infamous slap shot?
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I still remember. Anyway, we'll talk about that another time.
I totally agree. Jeff Donovan was a great person and still is, obviously, but a great mentor for, so he kind of like connected with a lot of people. That's what I felt like.
He was a sports guy. Yeah. It was easy to talk to him because you talk about NFL or whatever you watched on the weekend. But Jeff, I think it's important to say this, I think he was ahead of his time as a golf coach. When a lot of people were still talking instruction, Jeff was a golf coach. And Jeff had introduced, you know, physical screening and fitness and nutrition and the mental game way before anybody else started making it the thing it is today. So, you know, I hope Jeff listens, but I'd like him to know that I feel he's responsible for what a lot of guys have done around here.
He really flew under the radar, too. I mean, we had Paul and Chris, who are big personalities. And, you know, Paul, the face of the program, and Chris, kind of the happy-go-lucky guy that everyone kind of gravitated to. And Jeff just went about his business. But like you said, behind the scenes and stuff, with all the students he would have mentored over the years. So,
yeah. Well, and he coached the Holland College golf team for years.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are a lot of good players came out of that program and ended up going on to be successful club pros in the area in our events. You know, like stand-ups coming up, there'll be a bunch of guys in that field that have gone under Jeff's tutelage. So
I might have saw your name in the old draw.
What's that?
I might have saw your name in the old draw this morning.
Yeah, slip her in. See what happens.
What year did you win the pro division in stand-up open?
2009.
Okay, that wasn't yesterday.
It wasn't yesterday.
That didn't come up.
It wasn't yesterday. Full disclosure, I've played two or three times in the last month. And but I don't know, it's something about signing up for that event. I think it's just you know, the environment. Like, Frid, is it 156 players? Did I see it's full?
Yeah, we got to 156, waiting list of 20 right now. The divisions are stacked. I mean, I think championship division is plus to two. So if you're in a three handicap, you're in the first division, kind of similar to what Len was talking about, the Creek Open, right? Just the players want to play this year. And I mean, we got 30 PGA professionals coming, which is a great number for us. So
nice.
Yeah, pretty pumped.
No, I'm looking forward to it.
So what made you sign up? A little taste.
I miss feeling like you have to make a shot. And my daughter was born in 2013, and from when she was born, I didn't play anymore. I played Stand Open 2019, and that was the first tournament I'd played since she was born. So this will be my second event since 2013. And I miss the competitive vibe. It's fun. You can't get it anywhere else. You know, you can't get it on your Sunday morning game or anything. You can only get it in an event like this. So I miss that.
Which one of those other pigeons up there did you get to carry the bag around? Maybe McKenzie or Tyson or, you know, maybe the big gun out there.
There's got to be like the sixth Brennan boy that's probably kicking around.
Well, so the truth is, you know, I've got a heavy golf staff where there's a schedule in the shop of who's playing what. So McKenzie, Chloe, myself, and Tony are playing this weekend, and then it'll flip next weekend. There's a club championship, which a lot of the guys want to play in. McKenzie Close playing in some of the McKenzie Tour events. So the next like 4 weeks for us is just helping each other out to play tournaments. So
yeah, that's unreal though.
I might call Sean Senior on the bag for Sunday. Yeah. I've always had good luck with him, but we'll see.
I wait to post a score on Saturday before I ask anybody to caddy on Sunday. I'm not asking anybody to come out for a dew sweeping round of 7:30 tee time on Sunday.
If Fred's caddy's planning on going to 9 o'clock mass, look out.
Yeah, you won't make it too far. No, so good point. Time will tell. I know Dad's got a game Saturday, so if I do ask him, it'd be for Sunday.
Nice.
The boys know, and our listeners are probably kind of curious before. So. I mean, when I first met you, you were the executive director of the PEIGA. And how did you get into that position? Like, what was the transition there, just getting back to sort of your career path?
Well, I skipped a step in the Ottawa area. I was also with Golf Tech for 2 years. I opened a franchise for a franchise owner. And then, as I mentioned, or maybe I didn't, sorry. But in late 2015, Samantha had a chance to come back to the island, and the kids were really little, and we knew we wanted them to grow up here. So Samantha transferred. Me being a golf guy, I said, I'll take my chances and see what I can find, and ended up with a part-time position with the Golf Association. They were looking for a provincial coach, and so they offered me that role, which then grew into the executive director position, with the role of coach at the same time. So I had a unique role there where I was the executive director, and then I took care of the sport development side. It was fun. I wasn't expecting to go until the Mill River opportunity came my way. I had a lot of fun with the association. Building programs to try to get more people involved was a lot of fun. I enjoyed traveling with the juniors. We had some great players while I was there. I went on some great trips. And then, of course, running the amateur was always a highlight of the year, too. That was always fun. So a good mixed bag of programs and fun people to meet. And, you know, it's nice to see Allison carrying it where it is because it continues to grow.
I was about to say it's good to see Allison kind of picked up right where you kind of left off, I guess. And the PEIGA is thriving. The events have been great all year. I mean, coming up with the two new events, every time you talk about the PEIGA this year, nothing but good things.
And just to see, how many were in the amateur this year? 130-something?
141, I think.
I know when Ryan Garrett and I were running the two amateurs that we did, we were happy with low 90s. So to see it grow again like that, that's a testament to what's going on around here.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the fields are everywhere are up. And I mean, I remember obviously going up to Mill River. What was the field like in Mill River this year as compared to others? I know that it's always a challenge, if you wanted to speak to that a little bit, to get folks up to Mill River, even though it's only, you know, hour and a half away. You know, talk about that for a little bit.
Well, you know, Len, I think you've encouraged me to do more with the Mill River Open in 2022. You know, I have to admit that I was a little skeptical at the beginning of the year as to what the Mill River Open in 2021 would be like. You know, we still had a lot of uncertainty around COVID. I didn't, you know, seeing where we were in the lineup of PEIGA events, like there's what, five or six in a row?
Yeah.
You know, it's tough for guys and gals to get that much time off. But to hear the feedback, I know you mentioned you had a great time, and a lot of other guys decided to stay the night too. We're looking at adding a couple of different elements to it next year to get a few people to stay up. But from a business perspective, it is a challenge to get people to come up here. But we have some creative marketing people that are working, and it's working. We do have more people staying the night. And I think if you provide individuals with amenities and stuff to do, it makes it easier for them to want to come up.
I know that a lot of people, when we talked about this, you know, and for
I'm pretty sure we talked about this in the pod before when we got back from it, but you know, doing that evening, doing the one club challenge, and just sort of my favorite part, just sitting around the bar talking to the guys and all of that, like, as you don't get that a lot in some of the, you know, when it's in your home area for the most part, because you have your round, you have a beer, you go home, and to be able to, you know, spend the night, and we made it like just a complete sort of weekend.
Don't tell Beth that's how it works.
Come on, Ben. She doesn't listen to this podcast anyway. But yeah, I actually, after I spoke with you, I know that there was a couple of folks that went up there. Mitch Corcoran was one of them, and he's like, that's the go-to one next year because he had such a good time. So I think it's going to be, I think there's going to be a lot of people in that same headspace. That Mill River will be one of the, okay, we're going to that. Now where else are we going? You know what I mean?
Well, let's hope. And let's be honest, but anything you do, if you get stagnant and do the same thing, something new comes along and people are excited about it. So I think whatever you're doing, any successful event, you got to keep putting something into it to get people to want to stay and come up again. So, but Lenny, I'm giving you full credit for that, where, you know, you had a good time, and you know, this is what's going to get guys up here. So it's given us a little bit of inspiration to try to do a little bit more next year.
Well, I don't get no reason to give full credit. Yeah. I just usually blather on about the time that I had, and it was a good one. So
sometimes it's the simple things, right? No, seriously, it's just, hey, we had a great time doing this, and you might not think of it. So it's doesn't have to be something to revolutionize it, just another amenity, and there you go.
Yeah,
keep
you absolutely
up.
I think that's the whole vibe though of the Mill River Resort, right? That's the idea, is, you know, it's a staycation, it's a place away from your hometown, it's not out in the middle of nowhere, but I mean, it's up west, and you are going to go up there and stay for a night and play two rounds, and then and you're trying to make it that year-round facility. You guys put in the simulators this past winter, obviously a lot of them went in at a lot of different places, trying to take advantage of the fact that people want to play in the winter and give you guys another kind of business opportunity to work with.
It worked well for us. We took advantage of that, and I guess it would have been about a year ago, and we don't regret the decision at all. We kept them busy all winter. It ended up keeping a lot of guys employed year round. So I got to keep the core staff. We did some a lot of club fittings, so you've got the retail side of things that improved quite a bit. Ran a league, and then it was funny, quick story about how golfers are all really different. You'll have golfers that they'll take every swing for that 60 minutes. I got it for 60 minutes. I'm getting every rep I can. That's cool. You know, you pay, you do it. We serve food and beverage upstairs, and Tony told me this story. He went up to check on a couple. They'd rented it for 2 hours. Tony goes up, they're sitting down having a meal at one of the tables. They've played like two holes. Tony's like, just so you know, you got 2 hours, and, you know, just making sure. Tony's making sure they're getting their money's worth.
Right.
They were cool. They stopped after two holes to eat their food, and then they were going to carry on after. No rush at all. So golfers are all consuming golf very differently than maybe traditionally. So it's just neat to see different people play golf and enjoy it a different way.
They should have let the group behind them play through.
The beauty of upstairs, doesn't matter what the pace is. Yeah, as long as you're out at the top of the hour.
So speaking of that, and you know, all that's moving and shaking at the resort up there, Sean, like, obviously you came in pretty good time, you know, obviously with Don McDougal and everything that they're doing up there, and obviously working with Joffrey. He's definitely an innovator, and, you know, thinks ahead. So there's a lot going on. I know you can maybe speak on just a little bit of what the future holds up there at Mill River.
Well, you're absolutely right. It the leadership is, it all starts in any department, organization, business with the leaders. And, you know, Don feels very strongly about the resort, since he's from this part of the island. And as you mentioned, Joffrey's got a lot of experience as an entrepreneur with his own businesses and stuff, but it really is finding ways to attract people to stay with more amenities. I know it sounds simple, but for us, all of our decisions are based on how do we get people to stay the night, and whether that's using the simulator, the golf course, the disc golf, the newly, we're renovating part of the kids area that we have down here for March break. So it's continuing to add amenities is really what we're up to at this point. And since he's taken over in 2018, you know, really when you think about it, it's still pretty young in his ownership. So, and then of course, I'm looking out the window here too. We have the property development as well, which will continue to keep people around. So in the year and a half that I've been here, a lot's happened and we're not done yet, which is the exciting part.
The development you just kind of touched on there, I know that, you know, years ago shooting weddings in that area, I remember there was the campground that was as you drive in on the left-hand side. And forgive me because I'm not exactly 100% sure, but is that now being converted into sort of cottage lots? Is that accurate?
That's correct.
No way.
Yeah, we have, I believe, two or three phases planned, and we're in the process of phase one right now. And it's, they're nice. There's two of them are almost completed now. And I think in the first wave, we're building about eight of them right now. And it's, you're obviously on property. And then included in that will be some access to certain amenities at the resort. You know, golf membership and things like that would be a little bit extra, but there would be access to the gym and the pool and things like that as well. And being that it's 365, people will use them in different seasons, right? Some people go away for the summer, some people go away in the winter, and then there'd be an opportunity for those individuals to have Mill River rented out for them as well. So it's a neat development that's coming together for us. And in addition to that, there's a commercial development out on the highway as well that's under Mill River's supervision right now too.
Are the two that are almost completed, I'm assuming they're sold?
Pardon me?
Are they sold?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, I figured. Everything else in PEI is, so I figured that was a safe question to ask.
The mock-ups.
Well, the timing of things too, right? When you think about the need for property and, you know, obviously golf is in high demand. So there's certain things that are certainly, you know, going our way right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of a sidebar on that, you know, obviously everyone knows like the COVID that, you know, how well that increased golf interest and, you know, all of that, the second golf boom, basically. Have you guys noticed a real solid increase? You've been up Mill River. This is your third year?
Second season.
So I guess, yeah, you basically got up there and the COVID boom hit and you've been kind of rocking it ever since, huh?
Well, so I officially started in the winter of 2020, went to Florida just as a pre-start my new job, vacation, yeah. Played tons of golf with my uncle.
Signed the big ticket and spent the
later,
money.
Yep. The whole place was shut down, yeah. Right? So I was like, oh no, what have I done? You know, like, this is bad. Yeah. And, you know, we all experienced that in some shape or form, a whole bunch of uncertainty. But we, like all of us, we've kind of weathered through it through changing operational plans and budgets a million times. And COVID's been awful for a lot of people, but the golf industry certainly benefited from it. We were up this year, and I won't go through it all, but the one thing that's encouraging is that our U25 membership, I think we had five last year. We're almost at 50 U25s this year. So we've got that young demographic coming out and wanting to play a lot.
Wow. That's
and spend.
That's significant.
You're right, Fred. They spend. And in the pro shop, oh, I'm about to tee off. Oh, I need a cart seat. Give me a couple beers. What's that? That's a wingman speaker. I'll take one of those too. Sure, you know. So it's fun. It's just again, there's all sorts of segments out there that consume golf differently.
You can always tell when lobster season's good, eh? That's everybody's buying the wingman. Yeah, for some reason, club sales are up all over of Western PEI for some reason. I'm not sure why.
And as a fellow operator, Sean, like, you know, there's definitely been a lot of pros to COVID, but a few negatives as well. Obviously, you guys just got over hosting a big event there that, you know, there's a lot more hoops and stuff, red tape you kind of have to deal with. And, you know, last season was even so much uncertainty, you didn't even know what the red tape was. You kind of had to figure things out. But how's things been at Mill River now that things have opened up? Like, I noticed at our, you know, three properties that the vibe seems to be a little bit better than it was last season.
Yeah, I think we're experiencing more normal. Like, there was a lot of happy people just with rakes and pins, right? And for some people, that was a big deal that you could pull the pin. You know, personally, it didn't matter to me. I like rakes way more than the pins, but whatever keeps people happy and wanting to play. I think some of the stuff that people don't see maybe are some of the operational plans that have to take place behind the scenes for non-traditional start times. So, for example, if you have a corporate event that is not going by straight tee times, you have to submit something to CPHO and have it approved. So sometimes behind the scenes, those are the things that people don't really see sometimes. So that is something we're dealing with still with COVID, but I think we're going to get out of that. And I hope we do, because the operational plans, I understand, are a way to keep people safe, and you have to describe how you're going to keep people separated and all that stuff. So it'll be nice that we don't have to do those anymore.
Maybe on a little bit of a lighter note, I know obviously you're a golf fan yourself. Have you had a chance to watch much golf this year? And I know we share the same love for the Masters each spring. So I guess in November last year, but have you been watching much golf, and have you been, you know, following the PGA Tour or what's going on outside of our little Atlantic bubble?
Well, you're absolutely right. You know me well. Golf, I love golf. I'm a golf nut, and I love watching it. This year's been a little tough. Just because
our boy Cabrera's in a jam.
Ooh. He's not doing so hot. I understand. He's in prison for a couple of years now, I think, isn't he?
Bogey.
Well, we watched that Masters. Do you remember?
Yeah, 100% I do.
And it's a segue into, I don't know if you remember, but in that Masters in 2009, Phil went on an epic run. I think he shot 30 on the front nine.
Yeah.
So that's my segue into the last golf I really honestly watched this year, got me really excited, was Phil winning at Kiowa. He's always been one of my favorites. And, you know, I make a point of watching the majors as much as I can. Some of the week-to-week events, I have a harder time doing it. But, no, I'm still a huge golf fan and love where it's going. I don't miss any of the majors. And I'm excited to see the Ryder Cup again this year.
Who's your favorite player to watch right now? And maybe who was your favorite player to watch before?
Modern... I'm a Spieth fan, just because he keeps it exciting. I like that he's been able to battle back from some bad golf. Yeah. And I think I like that only because I think we can all attest to how hard that is when you lose your game and when your mind's in the tank and your swing's in the tank and your buddies are giving you a hard time. So to see Spieth kind of resurrect his career right now is pretty cool. And Phil has always been my guy. I think I've lived and die with, you know, all of his wins and losses over the years, and a lot of screaming at the TV and, you know, close calls. I can remember a lot of where I was when he lost majors.
Yeah.
You know, I remember where I was when he pissed it away at Bethpage and at Marion. Like, I remember, you know, so maybe not for better, but.
So were you always rooting against Tiger? Were you always rooting against Tiger when he was playing Phil? Because there were some epic matchups.
There were, and I'll admit, I'm a Tiger bandwagon guy now. I wasn't a Tiger fan when he was dominating, just because he won by so many. I didn't enjoy it. But I love watching Tiger. Well, and hopefully we see him again. I don't know, but the 2019 Masters, is that when he won?
Yeah,
that was big. But so during those era, I was still a Phil guy.
I think that's what really put the golf boom. You know, like, COVID is unbelievable. Tiger, like, it all kind of, that was when things just hit overdrive. I find that moment, like, golf, you know, was cooking along pretty good the last 4 or 5 seasons. And then in 2019, when Tiger won, hit it with COVID, it just bing, bang, zap. That just took golf to another friggin', that's put it into overdrive.
Bing, bang, zap.
Yeah.
Sounds like my treat. Sounds like my golf ball when it goes in the woods. Bing, bang, zap. And then I got to chip it out.
Are you playing Stanhope this weekend?
Oh, I got the...
He handpicked his own tee time.
You know when they PGA Tour puts out the marquee groupings in each flight for the TV cameras? I got a marquee pairing for Saturday morning. Handpicked.
Who did you get?
I got Mr. Brian Affleck.
He's going to be sick of you.
Oh, if he's not already.
he's gonna burp me through, he told me.
And this time he doesn't have him as a crutch there next to him hitting the good shots.
And and the third is BJ Affleck. So we always like we always like a show.
Love it. Love it.
The difference.
And you started yourself on 10, right?
Always.
the difference.
I know you love that shot.
The difference this weekend versus last playing with Brian. This time you're going to be hitting second, not going to be hitting first.
If I walk up to the fairway by accident 11 and pick up my ball and start walking it over to where his is, I'm going to get a two-stroke penalty.
Whoops, that's another penalty.
Yeah. I do think Fred's going to fly under the radar, though. You know, he's peaking. It's the Island Green podcast, Stand Up Open. I'm definitely rooting for Fridler.
He's just vibing right here. One of the questions I always ask, because obviously everybody that's in the golf industry has a couple of trips, trips that they've gone on that they can remember that they were, you know, your favorite golf trip. Is there one that's maybe on the top of your head that you can describe for us? Just thinking. And don't say Mill River, because we're done.
No, I would. You know what? The first one that jumps to mind, it's kind of funny, but it's nothing exciting. It was just happened to, I was in college in Ottawa and my folks had moved out to the island, and it was a trip that my dad and I took. We were supposed to go to Myrtle Beach on my March break. And this was 2000, and we were supposed to go down to Myrtle Beach, but the exchange rate went psycho.
Right.
So we ended up driving to Windsor, Ontario. My dad and I played golf for a few days, and I remember that trip maybe more than any of them. I remember watching the Masters with him. Sorry, it wasn't March break because the Masters was on. Anyway, long time ago.
Just skip school.
That would be, pardon me?
Just skip school. He just took you out of school. It's not a big deal. Yeah.
Possible.
Yeah.
So that would be maybe the one golf trip that I remember the most. Outside of that, I got lucky on a lot of trips with the juniors I wasn't playing, but I was part of the golf trip. I took a group out to Edmonton, or where'd we go? We went to Medicine Hat, Alberta. And that was fun, kind of living the golf experience through them a little bit. They were excited to get out there and play in the national championship and play the practice round and, you know, take a look at some of the surroundings. So some of those trips with the guys were fun too. Canada Games was a fun one too. Even though I'm not playing in any of these, but they were just memorable golf experiences.
Now one trip that you didn't get to defend yourself on, because we've heard the story, was the Holland College trip. So, you know, we heard one version of it. I don't know if yours is cleaner or how did that trip all shake out?
Well, and I think every study tour has.
I think it's been blown out of proportion, to be honest.
You know what? And maybe it has at this point because it's long ago, but there's no question there was some excitement for individuals who maybe had never been to certain establishments before. You know, I was getting married, I got married about a month after that. Samantha and I got married in Vegas. So from Florida, I came home and went to Vegas. But some of what you've heard is probably true, but you know, again, I've got kids and I've got to make sure, you know, my son, honestly, Nathan, who Ben knows, he listens to the podcast. So I'll kind of leave it at that. But, it was a very, very good trip.
Were you there when Retief stepped over me?
So that it happened just like that. I remember seeing it clear as day. And it was more so, Ben, that he looked down.
Yeah.
He did one of these. He looked over and kind of gave you an up and down and just kind of laughed and just kept walking. He's like, who's this turd passed out under the tree?
Speed bump.
I took a little rest.
Retief's not a small dude either. He's a big guy.
He's not a small
dude. That was, I think that was on the 11th, if I remember correctly, at Copperhead.
We have to get just a group of Holland College golf alumni together and do like a facility or a study tour, like marathon.
Or memoirs.
Memoirs. Yeah, and we rank the stories from like 1 to 10 and we let loose on them.
I know there was a plane ticket ready for me, but I got back in the good books just my schmoozing that I can pull off.
I think I gave you a like an elderly little recommendation on what maybe you should do.
Little pep talk, yeah.
Elder statesman started
this
there.
This is a best practice.
Yeah. Remember, another great time was the – I don't remember if there was a name for it, but it was like the Ryder Cup between the first and second year students. That was a great time.
It was a great tournament. I remember Ryan Higgins holed out on me in the second day, and I was so mad because I was playing well, and he holes one from the fairway. And then Jordan Milne, who Jordan's a Kenwo. We had a fierce singles battle. So it was fun. We had a good crew. We had a really, really good class. And
I'd have to say, you know, of all the classes, ours probably still has maybe the most that are in the golf industry.
James Sinclair over at Riverside.
Yep.
J.R. Hogan, who is extremely successful at Golf Tech Calgary, who'd have a lot of good stories about improvement and things like that.
We can't forget about Andrew George down in St. Stephen.
That's right.
Can't forget about Georgie.
That's right.
But it was great times, and I like all 3 years, great golf, a lot of fun, a lot of laughs, and you know, it was nice to make all those connections back in the day. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
I really do think we should do that. And I was talking to, instructor, Holland College, Paul Mernion. I was talking to him on Saturday and kind of talking a few things there. I think we could get these guys in a room and just set a recorder up there and let her fly.
Yeah. Tee it high and let it fly. See what comes out.
Yeah.
No, but I think that's what was so fun about it. Like, there were a lot of good times, but you know, we'll even see the Open. There'll be a lot of alumni around this weekend.
How about the golf symposium? What a great time that was too. Hey,
that was
huge. It was huge. It was huge.
I remember I got dissed by Dr. Joseph Parent, though. I was never happy about that.
No, you weren't Zen golf enough for him, or what?
No, we didn't hit it off.
Hey,
so.
He's my favorite author, and I'll be reading that book all week long. I do two chapters a night this week. I'll have it out tonight.
You bugged me because I said, when BJ hits driver, and I referred to that as being an aggressive play, and he said, that's not aggressive. I'm like, how can you not say that driver off the deck isn't aggressive? Anyway, we didn't get along.
No.
And that's fine.
he was too worried about the per diem he was getting. Anyway, so Fred, really Zen golf?
Oh, I got it at my house, Zen golf, mastering the mental game. Stand up open week, I dust her off and get two chapters a night going.
Dust her off.
Think outside the box. Most people, there's a bunch of stuff in there.
You should recommend this at Mill River. You know how you have the New Testament in the rooms, right? You should be putting Zen golf in all the rooms for golf season. Not a bad
idea.
I'm more
of a be a player kind of guy,
right?
On the golf book side, if I'm looking for something to kind of get me in the zone.
But
that's on the top of my reading list these days.
What is it? Be a player?
Be a Player by Lynn Marriott and Pia Nielsen.
Yeah.
They do Vision 54.
Nice, nice.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty solid.
Bob Rotella. You got to throw in a couple Bob Rotellas.
Oh, yeah.
Never gets old.
No.
Golf is not a game of perfect.
Lori's doing a bunch of work with you up at Mill River as well, if I'm not mistaken. A former guest, obviously, Lori Kane, Golf Hall of Famer. What's her kind of her role just in regards to your golf programs?
Most of our golf programs are run by Mackenzie and myself and Mackenzie Brennan. Lori definitely helps out with those, but more of a guest appearance type of role. It's nice, and it goes a long way. So, for example, we did 6 weeks worth of ladies clinics on Mondays and Tuesdays, and Lori was on property for something but made herself available to help out one night, and she genuinely loves it. And there's no question that the women really, really appreciated her coming over, because I remember a quick Lori story. Before I got to know her really well, when I was at the academy, I remember watching her practice. This would have been about 2008 or so. And I always liked watching her hit balls because of she has fantastic rhythm, and you can always learn from a tour pro. But I do remember her taking the time, and she didn't have to, but she just stopped what she was doing to go work with a group of kids. She was under no obligation to do so. I think it's just her personality and what she does. And she does the same thing up here. When there's an opportunity to help somebody, she will.
That's awesome.
That's ironic that you noticed that, because I noticed the exact same thing. She was over at both Fox Meadow and Belvedere, and she was walking through by the Belvedere range or what have you, and there was a couple of kids, and then she just stopped and started helping them. Like,
yeah.
It's really incredible. We're so lucky, and I feel like I was telling somebody the other day, where, you know, when we were talking about the podcast and having her as our first guest, but I feel like sometimes Lori is like, not take it for granted, but like we take her for granted because it's Lori, you know, and she's so friendly to everybody. She knows everybody, and it's just like a good friend, you know, whereas you forget that, yes, this is a Hall of Famer, and a lot of golfers all over the place is idol as far as golf goes, you know, and we're so lucky.
99 top tens.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Enough said.
Yeah, no, right? Absolutely. Absolutely.
What's shaking down the pipeline? China kind of went through a little bit with, you know, what has taken place, but what's coming down the pipeline with yourself and the resort?
You know, I think you'd be in the same boat, Ben. We're just trying to do our best for the next 2 months of high season. It's hard to plan. For me personally, I find I'm more in the mode of day-to-day right now.
Yeah.
Like what's priority today? And that could be an event, or it could be simply a busy day of 200 and something golfers and making sure that, you know, they're as happy as they can be. I like to plan ahead, but I also don't want to forget who's in front of me today, because that's a big part of our business, as you know.
Has the August blues hit the staff yet, or everyone's still going pretty strong?
It's funny you mentioned that. You know, the staff that I have are really, really good, and they're all golf oriented people.
Yeah.
And there's no question there's a balance of making sure you don't burn anybody out just yet. So, but they, you know, as long as they get out and play the odd round of golf and they get a day off here and there, everybody's enthusiasm is still pretty good. But nice. You're right, it can happen. It's a real thing.
It was early season. It feels like we're just kind of getting going, but there's a lot of time has gone by and a lot of rounds have been played. Like it's hard to believe that we're into August and we're on the back nine of the 2021 season.
We have, well, as you know, we have 3 solid months left, because mm-hmm. we'll go to the end of October.
Yeah.
But there, our last busy weekend is the first weekend in October, like where we've got events pretty much all the way up. And so that's really what it is now, Ben. It's just time management and making sure that I get everything done and that I still get to see my wife and kids periodically and sneak the odd round in, and I'm happy.
How did the Boys and Girls Club tournament go there last week, or was it 2 weeks ago? Last week?
It was 2 weeks ago. Went really well. That was I've only had the good fortune of running them in COVID times. Adam Binkley, who's the executive director for the Boys and Girls Club, and you guys may know this, but I think he runs like arguably one of the biggest celebrity golf tournaments in the country. He's had all sorts of guests from all over North America, and he had to pivot and adjust based on COVID. And the feedback from everybody is that they loved it. They ended up with a lot of really dedicated celebs from the Atlantic region. And we're going to continue to run it again in 2022. Hopefully he can open up the borders a little bit and we can get some others. But I think he really liked kind of going back to the roots and having people that have been supporting the organization for so long. It's been fun. It was a fun event.
Yeah, it started off as a 18-hole one-dayer. Now it's grown into almost – it's going to be a week-long festival here in a couple of years if he keeps it up.
Well, and I think what Adam's been successful with, and we talked about this earlier, is that if it stays the same every year, it gets boring, right? And Adam's changed it. It's, you know, he's changed venues. He has new celebrities. And because of that, it's changing and you never know what you're going to get. And the feedback so far has been good, but change is healthy.
Nice.
So, Sean, before we let you go, we've kept you here for a bit, but we always like to throw some rapid fire questions at you. And
sure.
The first rapid fire question I have, who's winning in a match, you or Ben?
I'm going to take him down. I think I beat him. Did I beat you both times in our matches last year?
Oh, I like this.
Yeah, partner match, though. I'm more of an individual.
Fair enough.
But I will say Sean and I were both 3-0. I was 3-0 in the Ryder Cup. I think myself and maybe one other were the only But when, you know, the pressure's on, I rise to the occasion. So I'd love to get a match in individual.
Okay. Well, I think we'll keep that in the back of our minds for sure. Speaking of which, lowest score that you've recorded as a
golfer? 67 a few times. Can't get past the sound barrier.
Hey, a couple of chapters of Zen Golf for this week, and you'll be throwing it down there deeper, maybe a 66 or something lower at Stanhope.
Maybe, could be.
Not with the grouping I gave him.
I would. Who would you consider best golfer at Mill River right now?
Tyson Gavin.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be the answer.
With a close honorable mention for Mackenzie Kloh.
Yeah.
Only because I know Tyson's played a little more, and Tyson shot 67 this morning, so
a little
it's
more?
Fresh in my mind.
Yeah, he's played a little but more. A little more.
Mackenzie Kloh can be he's not underrated. Mackenzie's they play two different styles of golf. Tyson, like I said, just because he played well this morning, but watch out for Kloh too.
What about TP?
Tony won the match play 2 days ago. He won the Mill River Club match play.
TP.
So Tony has a low ball flight, which helps him in the wind. If Tony gets his putter rolling, Tony's hard to beat.
And who's the best Brennan?
Well, I watched
right now, it would probably be... See, I played with Morgan and Mackenzie just the other day.
And?
That's a tough one. I have to flip a coin.
Yeah.
Wow.
Mackenzie hasn't played a ton. Mackenzie's playing more basketball right now. I think he's just trying to find a little bit of work-life balance. And when you get out of Mill River, he's decided to do that with some basketball. Morgan Brennan is a golf maniac and plays a lot. So I'm going to give the nod to Morgan.
Wow.
But it's by like half a shot.
That's saying something, because I played with Mackenzie when he was 6-under at the Mill River Open on the back or the front nine there.
Yeah.
Favorite go-to food? It's your birthday. Homemade. It's your birthday. You can have whatever you want. Anything homemade? Is that what you said?
Homemade would be go-to, but if I was going to have for birthday, a good steak. Anything, a tenderloin, medium rare, I'm good to go.
Love it.
I posted that picture today, Sean. I don't know if you saw. Remember those manwich you used to make back in the day?
I still do.
It looked like Montreal smoked.
I'm a creature of habit. And you know what's funny about that picture you posted? Yeah. I have some pictures from that day. Because you remember who played that day, right?
Us, Hollywood, Hodge, and Pete.
Pete the Heat,
yeah.
So I have a picture of you in the fairway bunker on 13?
14, yeah.
What are you doing in the bunker?
And a second later, you snap the club in your hand.
I think it was like a 4 or 5 iron, just boom, gone.
But you can tell the stakes were high on that match. And that's
oh, my
why.
God. There was a lot of squawking all year long, and we played in like November, end of October, whenever it was.
And anyway, that's what I remembered about that picture.
Favorite club in the bag?
Probably, my driver. I'm going to say I'm using a nice Callaway Epic that is fine in the fairway, and I've got some reasonable length with it, so hopefully it'll serve me well at Stanhope this weekend.
I was going to say, it might change after the weekend, but right now it's the driver. We'll see.
If you can't find the fairway at Stanhope.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I said something the other day, I'm not taking my driver because it's too tight, and I just want to irons off the tees, keep it in play.
I had some people that thought that was serious.
Anyway, did you?
Yeah.
But Mill River notwithstanding and present company notwithstanding, favorite golf course on PEI?
Yeah.
I'm looking right at him, but Gables is my favorite to play.
Okay.
Boom. Yeah. There's something about the Stanley Thompson vibe that I really enjoy. I think there was a bit of a Twitter thread going on the other day about the dunes that I was following.
That was cool.
And I love looking at stuff like that and seeing how some of those holes change. But, you know, I've played the Fundy course over in New Brunswick, which is a Thompson. Fun to play. Highland Links might be my favorite golf course.
Yeah, speaking of Jeff Donovan.
Country.
Yeah, speaking of Jeff Donovan.
Speaking of Donovan, when I played it for the first time, I was in awe. I really thought it was something special. And then the cottage course I grew up at was a Stanley Thompson, too. So anyway, all that to say, Gables, I love those original Thompson greens.
All right, you gave us enough reasons that we'll believe you actually like it, not just because Ben's sitting
here. McBroom's been active on Twitter lately. He's been commenting on a lot of his courses in our region, which is kind of cool to see.
It's, Oh, really? I didn't. Okay.
Yeah, I like getting the feedback from the course designers and when they do the renovations and that sort of thing, because obviously they're, you know, some of the most educated at doing that type of stuff for sure. I played Green Gables yesterday. Actually, I had some of my wife's friends' husbands were in town, so we went out and played afternoon round yesterday. And it is absolutely gorgeous down there by the old holes. And I was kind of giving the boys a little bit of a history lesson where when you're down by 13 green and you can actually see where the old holes kind of are still, you know, path through around the Lake of Shining Waters and that sort of thing. It's it would have been a nice thing to see. I wish I was around back then.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Scott McLeod piped in on that as well, and he maybe sent you, Lanny. Did he send you a picture of it?
Yeah, he basically, yeah. So he sent me, I can't remember where I saw a link or something of, I don't know how it started, I should say, but I saw the picture of sort of the old layout, and then I got on Google Maps. I had this little temporary brain thought, and then Scott sent me a link to the some of the you know, the history of the course and everything else. Like, I just found that part fascinating, the discussion afterwards, and I think Pierre has got the picture of. He's got an aerial picture of it with the dune holes, I think, which I want to get a closer look at.
How about Buddy with the tarp off in the picture there, the foursome that was.
I noticed that too.
Just sitting there reading his three footer. He's got the tarp off,
doing the flex off. Oh, right on the green. Man.
Yeah. Unreal.
Pretty casual back then, I suppose. Yeah, yeah. Wasn't a big deal. Yeah. Well, listen, Sean, well, thank you very much, buddy, for joining us. We will definitely be following you this weekend, and good luck with the resurgence of the golf competitiveness here.
Yeah, thanks. I'm looking forward to it. And thanks again, guys, for doing what you're doing. I know there's a lot of people that enjoy tuning in every week, and I think you what you're doing is bringing the golf community closer together. So good job.
All right, buddy. Well, go ahead, Ben.
No, all the best, brother. I look forward to our weekly chat so we can decompress about what's going on in the golf industry. I always look forward to that.
Sounds good, guys. Thanks again.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Sean.
Bye. Big thanks to our buddy Sean Joyce for coming on and chatting with us for a good, that was almost an hour.
We got to do that trip.
After we were done recording, we let Sean know that Frid had never been to Mill River, and oh my God, the laugh that he had. So we are we're going to have a little Island Green road trip, go up there, and that should be actually really fun, because I can't wait to see some of the lines that you decide to take at that golf course.
I'll probably keep her pretty.
If you hit that 3-iron like you did over in Abercrombie, you'd have no issue.
That's my golden ticket, that 3-iron.
I got to give you a little bit of props too. I was talking to Brian Affleck the other day, and he said that you were legit really good on the weekend. He said, look at the big smile. Oh my God. If we were doing video right now, you would see the happiest man on the planet getting some props from Brian.
Did Brian say that?
He legit did. Yeah, he did. Because I said, how many shots did you take of Frid? And he was just like, man, the whole front nine. Like, he was just on fire every time. He took, this, that, and the other thing, a couple wedge shots. And I said, well, that's great. I'm not telling him that. But
yeah, exactly.
Anyway, I couldn't hold that one back, buddy. Because God knows you've had your ups and downs, huh?
Well, Sean, good luck to Sean this weekend. He's back to only second competitive event since 2013.
Don't you love that, though, boys? Don't you love, like, guys coming out of the woodwork a little bit and just kind of getting back into it a little bit? I think that's unbelievable. I mean, I'm kind of in the same boat there, you know.
Love seeing the names when they come out. Like, guys that you were like, you know, don't expect to sign up. You're just like, oh, they haven't played tournaments here. It'd be great to see them. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that aren't there this weekend, but I mean, if we can ever get them back to playing. Dan Mott.
I seen Dan Mott. Is Dugas still playing?
He is. He wasn't on. Not obviously not coming over this weekend, so I'm not sure what the status is with his.
Oh, fair enough.
But
no, I just.
Did he ever play in the Stanhope Open
honest
before?
Honest to God, like that's what I seen his name on there 100 times. I thought,
so
wow.
So we go 99, Kevin Champion, 2000, Shannon Grinton, and then we got a nice little stretch here of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of the next six, Kevin Dugas.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He used to, you know how they used to offer
my boy Giggs' name in there too.
Yeah, Giggs.
Just see that. Yeah.
Brian Affleck is the 2-time back-to-back defending champion. If that makes sense. So he won in 2019 and 2018. There wasn't a tournament in 2020, and he won in 2015, 16, I think.
15, 14, yeah.
14, 15. So he won 14, 15, 18, 19. And nice. He's a defending champion.
What year was it when Nick Peters walked in with the peacock walk? And
That was 2019.
That was just 2019, wasn't it? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Peacocked at 66, down by 4.
Still one of the best stories.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. And we'll see you in a few. We'll see you in a couple days.
Yeah.
So where I saw Brian Affleck was the big My Biggest Fan Foundation scramble that they
celebrity
had on. Big time. Brian was the celebrity on that team. Pretty good celebrity if you're looking for a scramble partner. But yeah. Kudos, boys. So I got invited. I was and a shout out to Cook Insurance. They emailed me or Dave talked to me like a couple of weeks ago and he invited me and I knew what this tournament was. So I immediately said yes, booked it off, and I mean, so glad that I did. They did, straight tee times or whatever for this tournament, and they had, it was a time. I mean, I was talking to some of them on Monday, some of the staff at Belvedere afterwards, and they said they were having a great time, and they organized, they raised a bunch of money for their foundation, the My Biggest Fan Foundation. Big kudos to the McEwen, Zach and Juliana. Juliana pretty much like did a lot of organization, and then they had a whole team of people, including Jeff Affleck, who, GM obviously, and then you got Zach, you had Emily and Curtis, and I know I'm forgetting someone in that list. I think Zach McEwen's girlfriend. Anyway, shout out to all of them for putting on an unreal. Everybody had a great time. Bunch of beer holes, oysters, the whole thing.
Craig, what a beautiful man he was.
Oh, that, you know what? That goes without saying.
He was a beauty.
A staple at Fox Meadow.
Big time.
He was a
big
beauty.
Time. Yeah. Loved his men's nights just as much as I did. And there was a whole bunch of his buddies that were there that I got to see. Haven't seen them a whole lot this year. he in true fashion. There were a lot of drinks going on at Belvedere on Saturday.
It wouldn't have been proper to do it if they weren't going to do it.
You
know how Craig would have enjoyed it himself playing.
It was a real nice moment at the end in the reception as well. They were announcing the winners and Zach did a little cheers to everybody held their drink up and such, which was really nice. Speaking of the winners, give a shout out to the sandbagging team of Stephen O'Shea, Matt O'Shea, Darcy Affleck, Luke McCauley, and the celebrity. Recently signed St. John Sea Dogs head coach Gordy Dwyer took it down at 15 under.
How many shots of Gordy's did they use?
I don't
know
if there was a lot. I don't know if there was a lot, but I'll call them sandbaggers, but I know they're not. They just had a really good round.
He coached them up out there, gave them pep talks on the tees and stuff.
Most of those guys were after for the reception feeling zero pain. I will say our Cook Insurance team, we did extremely well. We were 13 under, 2 back. And Scott Cameron after 9 holes. So we were 6 under after 9, 7 under the back. We had a second time golf. We had actually, he was a beauty. Luke, Noah, crap.
What's the question?
Our celebrity. And I'm just having a big brain fart right now, as I usually do, because I'm an idiot. But and he was such a good guy. He just signed with UNB, hockey player, Casey.
Thomas Casey. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
I think he was former Charlottetown Islanders captain.
He was. And he was awesome to play with. Like, he was a really good guy. And it was Charlotte, Dave, and myself from Cooks. And anyway, yeah, it was a great time and the great, great foundation. And I guarantee you that next year that's going to be even bigger and better. So well done, guys. And I think
picks.
We will. Let's do our picks.
Yeah. We got the WGC this week.
Tournament week, but we're going to go with the
St. Jude.
FedEx St. Jude Classic.
Yeah.
It feels like a month since PGA Tour golf have been on, but it's only been like a 2 week hiatus. Yeah. But you miss a couple weeks.
I'm going to pick last.
You're going to pick last?
Yeah.
Okay. He's got a nice. I think he's got a hoagie type. pick again.
There's no hoagies in this one, man.
If we were picking picking the Barracuda, there might be some hoagies.
I can't chirp him either. He's made some good money, this fella, in the last one. Although Fratelli was a bogey. I'll go first. My pick for the St. Jude Invitational, Brooks Koepka-Kepka.
Okay.
I love the no comments by anybody else. So
he can play. Oh, no, he can play. Yeah. I'm going with Billy Horschel.
Wow.
All right. So, and if anybody's listening to this and doesn't know the rules, we don't know each other's picks. So it's just a matter of, and you're allowed to pick the same. Before we get into Ben's pick, I'm going to tell you that he is leading with almost $3 million in earnings. Frid's at 2.5. Lana Paltry, 1.4, which is disgusting.
But this event, you win it.
That's true. Come on, Brooks. You're my ace in the hole. All right, let's get to her. Ben.
So two nights ago, I was kind of just laying in bed, kind of trying to get to sleep, and I like to have the TV on before I hit the hay.
Yep.
I was watching Faraday rerun, and Finau was on there. It was a great episode, so I'm going with Tony Finau.
All right.
The Hawaiian bomber.
Okay.
It's a really long backswing. Yeah. Takes it to his knee and hits it 330 a carry.
How can you not like Tony, though?
Yeah, beautiful.
Tony's a beauty.
He's got lots of kids.
Speaking of beauties, we'll have to give our condolences to the Affleck family.
Yes.
Yeah, we had this on our notes, and we had it top. We don't want to start the podcast off on a down note, but certainly offer our sincere condolences to the whole McEwen clan and the Affleck clan and their family and friends of Cliff.
A staple in PEI, I bet hockey, you, and horse racing.
If you pulled all, whatever, 135,000 people in PEI, I'd say 134,000 probably knew Clifford, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Or had interaction with him through whether refereeing or just the horse, or just something sporty.
The bus.
He was the one that drove the bus up with the boys to Mill River there a couple of weekends ago. And what a beaut.
Yeah. Beauty.
Like, what a great fella. And, you know, and I got to give him credit again for they basically the tournament that was on last Saturday. I mean, horrible timing, but they were questioning whether to put it on, and they said he would definitely want us to come out and have a good time, and I think everybody did.
And to put on an event like that, like, I mean, I know Jeff had a busy week with the work and stuff to pull through it, and do an event like that with that kind of on your mind, is that's just, I don't know, perseverance.
Good Island family.
Yeah. So condolences to their family. And
we'll dedicate this episode to Cliff.
Absolutely. And there's nothing more to say there, boys. I think we should wrap her up. And thanks again, boys. We'll
Have a good trip to Philly.
Going to have a great trip to Philly. I hope to do the recording from there. We'll see how the week turns out.
Yeah.
But I can't wait to see what happens this weekend at the Stanhope Open, all the drama and the fun times, and get the videos rolling. And
I'll have the videos and the tweets going.
All right, boys.
Looking forward.
Have a good week.
Cheers. Bye, boys.